The Hook Show, number 54, Discovering Digital Television.
The Hook Show with your host, Digital Dan. Hookshow.blogspot.com. Welcome to The Hook Show.
Welcome to or welcome back to The Hook Show. Thank you for pressing play on your MP3 player of choice. And if you want to subscribe to the show, make sure you check out the links over on the website. I got a couple of comments before I actually get into the actual show topic for today. I got a comment on the blog site there from ASCII Adam. I don't have that in front of me, but I do kind of remember vaguely what it was about. I remember him actually making a comment about that it seemed like we were professional babysitters. And the main comment that I have to say about that, I was chatting with my wife about it. And when you're actually watching your own kids, it's not necessarily considered babysitting. It's actually more considered parenting. So we just found a way to actually coordinate that all together within our schedule, so we don't have to worry about daycare so much, and it's more of just us. I got another comment texted to me from someone that identified themselves as Matt, and he said, you should do something about my high school reunion. That was one of the various things that kind of pulled me away from the podcast, was actually going to a high school reunion. It was quite fun to see a bunch of the people from my high school from after 10 years, and some people traveled all the way from California to come out and visit, and even some people weren't able to visit, but I was able to connect with them via Facebook, so that was quite neat to have like a virtual reunion with some of the people I just weren't able to make it for whatever various reason. And then this happened this last weekend, was I have a new nephew. My brother, ASCII Adam, and his wife had a beautiful baby boy. Looks like everything's healthy at this point, so that's always good news. Just want to wish him another congratulations on that. You can also send him an email if you want. I know there's links over at the website for that if you want to wish him a congratulations.
For a Digital Dance show, listen to The Hook Show, hookshow.blogspot.com.
Now to get into the show topics for today. Basically, I'm going over digital television, commonly known as DTV now. I actually sent out a question over on Facebook on the My Questions, and for some reason that disappeared. That application that I was using there, I really enjoyed doing that and pulling some of my friends on Facebook and getting some different responses from questions, so I kind of missed that. And I might explore another application that does similar to it, but for some reason it wasn't there. And I've got one response. It was from Julie Fuzzybottom. That's not actually her last name. She was stating that she was confused about the whole thing. So since I got a couple of boxes and actually saw my neighbor having one too, so I'm going to go through a couple of my experiences with that and then actually kind of define what digital television is all about. So where's the first place I like to go and look? Wikipedia. Yeah, so I actually went and looked up their entry on digital television, and I actually went through some of the advantages of the conversion to, you know, DTV. Basically, DTV has several advantages over analog TV. The most significant of being that digital channels take up less bandwidth. This means that digital broadcasters can provide more digital channels in the same space, providing high-definition television service or provide other non-television services such as multimedia or interactivity. DTV also permits special services such as multiplexing, which is more than one program on the same channel, electronic program guides, and additional languages spoken or subtitled. DTV has superior picture quality and improved audio quality and easier reception than analog. So the thing that's quite neat is I've been hearing from some of these different resources is some of the non-television services are kind of an interesting idea. And the conversion boxes right now probably won't be able to get into some of these multimedia or interactivity just yet, because it's just, you know, the first version of it. But the thing that's actually kind of neat is some of the multiplexing, where I'll go over some of the channels that I've actually been receiving in my area. But there is a lot of the multiplexing, which is the same program would be going on in an HD channel as there would be on a standard definition channel. So that's neat with that. But I was kind of wondering, okay, what kind of compression are they using on this for the actual the channels themselves? So within Wikipedia, they're talking about the compression artifacts and the allocated bandwidth. The DTV images have some picture defects that are not present on analog television or motion picture cinema because of present-day limitations of bandwidth and compression algorithms such as MPEG-2, a buffering and preload delay. Unlike analog televisions, digital televisions have a significant delay when changing channels, making channel surfing more difficult. Different devices need different amounts of preload time to begin showing the broadcast stream, resulting in an undesirable and annoying audio echo effect when two televisions in adjacent rooms of the house are turned to the same channel. I haven't quite checked out the whole two different TVs on the same channel, but we do have that set up, and that's how I'm going to do some of my reviews, is because we've got two different conversion boxes. When there is a bad reception, it kind of digitizes the picture. I was trying to think of what the best analogy to how it is, but it digitizes the picture because it's, you know, an actual digital compression right now, and it just kind of stutters the image and just stops it, and it actually gets more annoying to try to watch it because it just kind of stops the actual broadcast. Whereas like with analog television, you could still kind of watch the program. It just would be really fuzzy, you know. You get a lot of the actual static from the line, but with digital television, you can't quite do it like that. So just thought you'd like to hear about that. From DTV Answers, they actually went over it and said, DTV is more efficient and more flexible than the traditional way of broadcasting known as analog. For example, DTV makes it possible for channels to broadcast multiple channels of free programming at once, called multicasting, instead of broadcasting one channel at a time. DTV technology can also be used to deliver future interactive video and data services that analog television can't provide. So very similar to what they actually were talking about with the Wikipedia, which I'm quite interested to see what some of these future video and data services that are going to be coming through. Within DTV Answers, they also went through the idea that full power television stations have been preparing for this transition to DTV since the late 1990s. So it's nothing necessarily new. They've been thinking about this for quite a while, and so it's just kind of neat to see what they're coming up with now. Our public channel, which is TPT, also known as PBS, they actually had a really good site on answering some of the common questions, the frequently asked questions regarding DTV, and I'll kind of go through some of those kind of ones that I thought were quite interesting, and hopefully it will kind of shed a light on what this whole DTV thing is all about. One of the questions was, why are we switching to digital television? The U.S. government has mandated a conversion to DTV to free up parts of the sparse and valuable broadcast airwaves. These portion of the airwaves will be used for other important services such as advanced wireless and public safety services, for example, police, fire department, and rescue squad. Yeah, for quite a while earlier this year, they're talking about the actual spectrum auction that was going on, where wireless companies like Verizon and even actually Google got in on the game on trying to bid for the actual spectrum so that they can actually expand some of these advanced wireless services that they're going to be coming out with. But since DTV hasn't officially rolled out the true conversion until, you know, February of 2009, We probably will be seeing those, I'm going to have to say, roughly late 2009 to sometime in 2010 when they can actually kind of experiment with this new spectrum. Because I know, like, with when you get the cordless phones or, you know, wireless in and of itself, or even Wi-Fi, those are using... they're using certain spectrum and bandwidth that's needed for that. So that's why they're trying to free up some of those spaces. So, because you can only do so much within the spectrum, you know, of wireless. So they just want to kind of free up some of those airwaves. I know radio's probably doing something similar to that, but who listens to radio anymore, huh? One of the other questions is, will I need a new antenna to receive digital television? In most cases, existing antennas that are getting decent analog reception will work for digital television. Antenna Web website allows you to enter your address and it will tell you which type of antenna will work best for your digital TV in your area and how it should be positioned. So that's quite good. I'll have a link to a lot of this kind of stuff in the show notes itself. But what I've noticed is when I got my converter box, my neighbor actually just got one of those antennas that you put on top of your TV set, and he was kind of fiddling with that, and it seemed to work out pretty good for him. But I actually got a converter box in my unit and was kind of playing around with that, and I was getting just really awful reception, and I was like, I know there has to be a better way to do it, and... noticed there was a plug to something in the wall, and I was like, I wonder if I can get to reception that way. And lo and behold, I actually found out that there's an antenna on the roof, and I'm getting great quality from that. So for the actual antennas that they probably prefer from the antenna web is antennas that are actually on the roof. But there is all sorts of different antennas that you can set up for your box, and I would check out this antenna web to see what would work the best for your needs. Also within this frequently asked question, I found this quite funny. They actually were talking about a VCR analog loop, and I noticed that too. The idea that you can set it up where the converter box would run to your VCR and then your VCR would run to your TV. Basically where you can record your own shows on a VCR, you know, DVD recorder, if you have one of those, even two, you could basically just record the show that's being viewed on the converter box. Whereas previously with analog television, you could possibly watch a show on one program on the TV, and then you could actually record a different program on the VCR itself. But since everything is running from the converter box, it can only be used where you're only recording the show that's being viewed on the converter box there. Within this whole conversion, there's also the idea of, hey, what am I supposed to do with my old electronics? Because some people want to upgrade their televisions to, you know, an HD set, because that's what some of the signals are that are coming in. A couple of mentalities on how you should go about recycling some of your old televisions and electronics, because some special considerations are required when disposing of some of these electronics because they contain some hazardous materials. Specifically, for old televisions, they have the cathode ray tube, and that can't be disposed of in the garbage at all. It must be recycled in some fashion. I have a couple of links to places where you can actually do some recycling. I actually came across this where Best Buy is doing a test program for recycling some electronics, but within their actual the specifications of that, you can only bring in 2 items per person per day. So I brought in an old VCR that I had that just was breaking down, and one of my old televisions, and they took it, and it was all good. I know there's a couple of limitations on that, so you might want to double check on that before you actually go in and try to recycle, or you can even call up Best Buy in your area to see if they'll take some of your old electronics. But like I was saying, it is a test program, so it's only available in a couple of states, Minnesota being the origin of the corporate office. So if they're going to test it anywhere, Might as well test it within the same state. There's also eco sites that you can go to where you can take care of some recycling that way. Some places, they'll actually charge you to dispose of or recycle some of your old electronics. I've seen anywhere from $25 to $50 to get rid of some of your old electronics. So I would definitely check it out to see what you can find out. I also came across a couple of sites that was recommended on some of these web pages for DTV saying to check out the mygreenelectronics.org and greenguardian.com. So check those out for trying to recycle some old electronics. But for the actual converter boxes themselves, some people like to get the coupons because it is a government-sponsored program right now where you can get a $40 credit towards a converter box. And it basically looks like a credit card what you use, but it can only be used on converter box purchases. Right now, most boxes are anywhere from $50 to $80. There is probably even more expensive units than that when you're talking about some of the other advanced electronics that I think they're adding into it, where you can actually do some of the recordings right on the actual unit itself. But most boxes are about $50 to $80. But to find out about the coupon program, you have to go to dtv2009.gov or 1-888-DTV-2009. I know they've been talking about this quite a bit on some of the analog channels. Some of the local channels will talk about, okay, you gotta convert pretty soon here. And that's what they're talking about, is going to the DTV2009.com. All right. So what kind of channels have I received? What's the difference between some of these channels here? When I actually went through the setup process, it checks all the frequencies in the area, detects all the channels that it can locate. So from my local channels, which depending on your area might change, it detected 23 different separate channels. Starting off, they're actually sub-channels, so instead of it just being straight channel 2, it's all the channels would be like 2-1 or 2.1 or 2.2, stuff like that. So on channel 2.1, it's just their regular TPT or public PBS is what's commonly referred to at around in our area, and that's one of the public channels. And then 2.2 is the HD version of that, and sometimes they'll have different programs going on those two different channels. WCCO, which is our CBS affiliate, they only have one channel right now. I know some of these channels are probably just experimenting with it, seeing what they can find out, see what works best for them. Channel KSTP has 5, 5.1, and 5.2. 5.1 is the HD channel that they have, so they're actually sending out the broadcast within HD, but you have to have a set that will detect and utilize the best of that quality. But that's our ABC affiliate, is KSTP. And then there's just their second channel, which is 5.2, sometimes is simulcast of the or multicasting, as they're saying, in a standard quality, as it would be a high definition quality. Sometimes it's different, so you'll come across what they're wanting to show for the ABC affiliate, and then on 5.2 they're just rebroadcasting the news from an earlier time. And then there's channel 9, which is KMSP, which is our Fox affiliate, and that is 9.1, which is the HD channel, and 9.2, which is the SD channel, but that's just straight multicasting and different qualities. Channel 11 has three different channels, which is their HD one on 11.1. That's our NBC affiliate. There's CareWX, which is a straight weather channel. They only show weather-related programming on there. They call it Weather Plus. And actually, if you haven't heard the news already, I think NBC bought out the Weather Channel, so there might be some influxes of that purchase within that Weather Channel there. And then every once in a while I come across this. I know all these different broadcasters are experimenting with different channels, but for a short period they actually had 11.3, which was Care SD. They're just showing what to expect on 11.1 for a while, and I think they're just trying to figure out what they wanted to use with their third channel there. TPT, which I was talking about, is our public television, also has 17.1, 17.2, 17.3, and 17.4. One of them is straight what they would normally broadcast on their channel 17, which is at times weather, and then other times some kids programs. 17.2 is TPTMN, is what they refer to it from what the actual channel guide was talking about. So I think that might be more localized programming for Minnesota, but I haven't really watched it for a long amount of time to realize that that's what they're trying to go for. But 17.3 is a 24-hour kids channel, which was, I find, quite fun. With my daughter, that's 3 at times. She just doesn't quite want to go to bed, and she doesn't want to watch the programs that my wife and I want to watch, so it's good to have a kids channel that you can watch that's 24/7 times when we want to watch our programs like Law and Order and some of those that wouldn't quite be as appropriate for her. 17.4 is the Create channel, which always has some arts, crafts, programming, even some cooking shows around there, that kind of stuff. We've watched a program called Barbecue University that's quite interesting to see. He was trying to do teaching on different methods of barbecuing, and some of the recipes he comes up with are quite interesting, to say the least. And then there's 23.1 and 23.2, which is a CW affiliate. And that's 23.1 is the HD, and then there's SD for the 23.2. So that's just straight multicasting there in the different qualities. 29.1, 29.2, HD, SD on there. So same kind of deal. One of our converter boxes, we're able to actually block channels too, which I'll go a little bit more into the review as to some of the experiences that I've been having with the converter boxes. But on some of these channels that are doing the multicasting, just straight the same programming on both channels, we'll block one of those. So when we flip through the channels, we can just see one of the channels instead of two showing the exact same program. And then there's ION, which is 41.1, 0.2, 0.3, and 0.4. 41.1 is just what they'd normally have on the ION channel. And from AntennaWeb, I found out that ION is actually out of St. Cloud, so it's coming quite a distance. 41.2 is another all-kids channel, and that's what they refer to as Cubo. So there's some interesting programs on there. So it's good to have a variety of different kids programs at times. Then there's ION Life, which they're trying to have programming that's beneficial to someone's life. I've actually watched a show on there. I find it quite interesting. It's called Gadgets, Gadgets, Gadgets. So it's right up my alley. Except for I've noticed within it, it's a British program, and what they're talking about is quite out of date, but it's still kind of neat to hear about some of these gadgets. And then there's 41.1, they call it the Worship Channel, which I think is supposed to have religious programs on it, but at times it's hard to know exactly what's on that one, because all they say for the program guide is it says worship, but I've also seen advertisements for John Tesh. He has some music and dancing album thing that he created, and there's advertisements for that on the Worship channel too, so I'm not sure exactly what that's all about. But every once in a while I flip to it just to see what's on. And then there's 45.1, which is at the KSTC. And that's their digital channel there, Channel 45. That every once in a while they have local baseball on there, Saints games, that kind of stuff. And even some of the classic television, I've seen Cheers and Friends and Scrubs and some of those kind of shows on there. That's kind of what the channels that you'll receive are.
This is Low Tech Lynn. I don't get it. Why don't I get it? No, I don't want want to say that. I get it. I just don't want to get it. I'm going to go read a book. You're listening to The Hook Show.
All right, so topic two is pretty much the converter box review. So I've had a couple of experiences with three different kinds of converter boxes. A neighbor of mine has one, and then I decided to get two different converter boxes for my actual home here, instead of getting two of the same ones, just to kind of get a variety of actual units, see which one I actually prefer the most. Let's start off with the one that my neighbor got, which is actually, to start off with, before I actually get into that, I've noticed that each individual electronics store or places that do sell electronics have a different model of a converter box. Okay, so the coupon that you get, the credit for $40, can only be used once. So the idea is that you have to kind of settle on which converter box that you want, or you're going to be out $40. Okay, so if you don't like the actual converter box that you got, there's no real way to return it. You can return it for just what you paid, which would be the difference between the $40 discount and what's remaining on the unit. Like I was saying before, most units are costing anywhere from $50 to $80. So if you get like a $50 unit, you'd only pay $10. And if you return it to the store, you'd only get $10 back. Okay. So the idea is that the reason why I was going through a few of the reviews or picking up multiple units is to find out and test which one I prefer the most and put that in my main TV area, whereas the other one would be in a bedroom where we don't watch TV as much. So I came across, or I was watching this with a neighbor of mine. He got the box that you could get over at Walmart, which is the RCA TV converter box DTA-800. What I like about that model is that it's only $49.87, which means the difference is about $10 after the $40 coupon. With that one, it does have an actual, the electronic program guide. So once I saw that he had his that had the program guide on it, I really liked the way that that worked. The one thing that I really like about the RCA model here is that it's a little bit of a menuing. So you have to press like a guide and go into a menu item, and then it displays all the channels that are on, and you can kind of scroll through all those and see what's currently on and then what the next thing that's going to be on those specific channels are. So that was kind of neat to see it all in one space. The boxes that I have don't quite do that. I've noticed that each converter box has a slightly different operating system behind it, so they're going to display the information in a slightly different manner. So I'll hopefully describe some of that to you. The other thing that I really like about this RCA model is that they're within the remote itself, there's a way that you can set it up where it will control your TV power too. One of the converter boxes that I have won't actually interact with the TV itself, so you need two separate remotes to actually kind of interact with your TV to turn it on and then to change the channels, basically. The ones that actually have a bit of a universal remote to it, just even to turn on the TV, makes it a whole lot easier. The first box that I got was the GE22730. And that's actually the one that I picked up over at Target. And I find out now that the ratings on it is actually quite low. It's only about 4.9 out of 10. It has this really weird, like, wave design for some reason. So the box itself looks kind of odd, but the remote doesn't have a way to actually turn on your TV and the converter box, so we have to get two different remotes for that. There is an actual electronic programming guide on this one, too. I very specifically was looking for ones that had a program guide on it, but this one has almost it has a delay associated with changing channels that I haven't noticed on any other boxes as much. They actually claim that there's an 8-day programming guide, but trying to scroll through and try to find that is quite convoluted, and just it takes a long time. There's quite a delay in it, so I really don't like going through that all that often. But within the program guide on this one, that I do like, is it will actually describe what's on the channels, like an actual description of, you know, what the episode of the different programs are going to be. So you can kind of look at that and see, okay, have I seen that one? Should I change it to a different channel? And it will display more than just what's on currently and what's next. It will typically show you a couple of hours out or even a couple of programs out. So I guess that's kind of neat to see that, but it'll only do that for the channel you're watching at the time. So, like I was saying, it is quite a delay changing through the channels, and just don't quite like the program guide layout on it. So, through that, I just wanted to make sure that I got a different box and found out which one I prefer the most. Let's see, before I go to the next thing, does it say what the price on that one was? I think that one was also around the $50 mark, so it only cost us about $10-$15 bucks. But the one that I got, I went over to Best Buy, because I'm like, okay, if the one from Walmart is okay, and the one from Target is eh at the most, a true electronic store must have, like, a really good one here. That's kind of my mentality. So, Best Buy, let's see what they have. And then while I was over there, I did some of the recycling of my old electronics. So, a pretty decent electronic store when it comes down to it at times. But they actually had their branded one. It's called Insignia Digital to Analog Converter Box for Analog TVs, model NSDXA1, which, hey, it doesn't mean much to most anybody, but basically, from the very beginning to actually turning on the converter box for the first time, you know, plugging in the antenna and all that, whoever created the operating system for it was actually trying to make it as easy as possible for it. And when you actually turn it on, they're like, oh, do you want to do the initial setup? And that's, they just kind of walked you through getting it initially set up. So, quite easily, the actual, this one I've actually noticed is one that I can go through the program guide, create favorite channels. So all I have to do is press a favorites, and then it'll just kind of skip through a couple of different channels that I specified, and I put the kids show programs on there, you know, the kids channels on there, because typically it's for my daughter when she wants to watch a program. We just kind of flip through those real quick. So I really like that. There's also on the remote where it will control the television itself. I can block channels or lock out channels so that they're not even showed on the program guide. Even they were thinking about it so much that when you're typing in an actual channel, like, you know, trying to turn to channel 11, some of these other converter boxes, if you press 11 and enter, it will say doesn't exist, because you got to go 11.1 to get to change to that channel. Whereas with this Insignia box, when you press 11 or even just start typing, it will list all the channels that are similar to it, just the ones that associate themselves with the numbers that you typed in. So if you press 1, they'll list all the channels that start with 1 and 2 and so forth. Yeah. And then you can just scroll through and pick the one that you want. For all my experience, I really like the box that I got from Best Buy. It had quite a good experience. I can press a guide, and then it will show up right on the top, and I can scroll through that real quick. It will show what's currently on and what the next program is, and then I can flip through that. Just kind of scroll to the side, right or left, and find out which ones, what's going to be on pretty soon. One thing that I did notice with all the converter boxes is if it doesn't have a program guide that it's going to show you at the time, you might need to actually flip to that channel just to download some of that information, and then it will display it to you. But some of them actually do have an automatic off, where you can set it up where it has a sleep timer. But if your TV doesn't support it and your converter box does, I've actually had it where it's just showing static for a while. The GE box, the one that I got from Target, it will just shut off. And there's ways of figuring out exactly how much time you want. With the box that I got from Best Buy, it actually will give you a 1 minute warning and do a little countdown, changing a channel or adjusting the volume, and it will basically take it off the sleep timer there. We actually got a universal remote for one of our TVs a while back, and my wife was actually experimenting with the remote because, like I was saying, with the one that we have in our living room area, the one it has the ability to change the channels and turn the TV on and off. Whereas the one in the bedroom, we're looking for two different remotes, so she's kind of playing around with this universal remote, basically, and fiddling around with the code searching on one of the cable, you know, you could press cable, VCR, TV. It works to interact with the converter box through the universal remote, except for the really funny thing. Instead of pressing channel up and down on the remote, pressing the 3 button to change a channel, and then the 2 button to get the program guide, and then another button to press signal strength. I completely forgot about that, to mention about that. The signal strength thing is when you're going through some of the different channels, there's 2 different things that shows up for the signal strength. Depending on the converter box, it will actually show you this too. It will show you the signal strength coming in for that channel along with the picture quality that's associated with it. So when I was trying to figure out with the antenna that I had within my actual condo unit, it was showing like 40% signal strength, and then the picture quality was jumping around like 80%, 60%, trying to lock basically on a picture, and it was really hard because there's all these digital artifacts that were associated with it. So when I found out about the antenna on the roof and everything's coming in at 100%. Oh yeah, I forgot to go over what the price of from the Insignia unit, and that was actually $59.99. So with tax and everything, I think it came out to like $23. So it's a little bit more spendy than some of these other units, but I think I really got all my money's worth for the unit there. That's definitely my highest ranking one. I'd recommend going to some of the different review sites and finding out what other people are saying about some of these different units, what the good and the bad and the otherwise about some of these different units are. So when you do decide that you need to get a converter box, that you'll get the one that would best suit your needs. If you are actually having cable or satellite right now, you don't need to worry about this at all. This is just for people that are dealing with over-the-air television. I hope you guys enjoy my review on this. I know it's been quite long, but I wanted to kind of go a bit into detail as to some of the different aspects of my experiences with digital television and kind of how this all works together. I hope you guys enjoy that. I'll talk to you soon.
That's going to do it for this show. Digital Dan would love to hear from you. Email your comments, hookshow@gmail.com, or visit the website, hookshow.blogspot.com, for all the other good stuff. This show is a proud member of the podcast community Blueberry. Find out more at blueberry.com. And is also affiliated with Podcast Minnesota at podcastmn.org. Thanks for listening to The Hook Show from hookshow.blogspot.com.